And as I say, we're all in here together today. There is no chatterbox, there are no groups. This is a big moment. It's a big moment today. We wanted to share it together. So we'll all be enjoying our worship together here this morning. Let me read a little bit from Matthew to you. And then as we start this family service, Eva's going to come and pray. But let me read a little bit from Matthew chapter 16. This is what Jesus promises. He says, I will build my church. And he says, the gates of hell will not stop it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's all in his hands, which is where we want it to be. Eva, you're going to come and pray.
Dear God, thank you for our wonderful lives. Please help people who don't have homes to live in or ways to improve their lives. Thank you for making our wonderful world. Please help us in live in peace and harmony with the nature you created. Thank you for helping us to improve our church. Please let the new church draw more people in. Thank you for sharing your life with us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Let's stand up and sing together before the throne of God above. Please sit down. Now, funny enough, I've had a lot of speculation about what's under here. somebody said to me, no, two people said to me, it looks like a baby elephant. And I'm really sorry that it's not actually a baby elephant. Anybody else like to hazard a guess what is under there? What do you think? A baby rhino. Oh, go on.
Is it like
being
a table?
It's not a table or a chair. Go on.
A dog.
A dog. No. Do you think my dog would stay that still? Seriously? No, any other? Anybody else going to suggest something? Oh, yeah, go on, Keris.
A picture of Ginny.
No, it's not a picture of Ginny. Oh, dear, I'm going to have to start. I'm going to have to start revealing it. Now, remember that we're doing something special to do with our buildings today. So let's have a little look, shall we? Can anybody see what it is yet? Anybody see what's coming out? What's coming out? Yay! It is actually the cleanest cement mixer in the world. Thank you, Kelvin. And a bit later on, all our pledges are going into there. And they're going to stay in there till next week, until some other ones come in next week. And then we're going to count them up and see what God has provided. And it's a bit dull at the moment, this cement mixer, and it needs decorating. But I'll tell you about that after the next two songs. Ruth.
So we're going to sing two songs now. If you'd like to stand and join me if you can. We're going to start with Build Your Kingdom here, just really focusing on how we can build God's kingdom within this church. So if you'd like to stand.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil what we made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope. Let water in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.
We are your
So we're going to sing another song called Who Paints the Skies, and this is a song that we just thought it would be good to get some of you to join in with us, so it's not us doing all the work with the instruments. So it doesn't have to just be little people, if the bigger people want to come and play along with us as well, you might keep a better rhythm. But if you'd like to pick up an instrument and join in, that'd be great.
And pop those back in the box, please, because we're going to need them later on. Then you can get a different one next time. Well done, thank you. There's one more coming in, look, all the way. Thank you very much. Shall I take that for? Are you going to put it in? Thank you very much. Well done. Now, later on, I say when we fill this up, when we start to fill this up with those pledges. And later on still, when we empty those pledges out and we start to use them to build something that will change the town of Newbury, it comes with our love to God and with our love to the town. Now, I don't know about you, but I never give a present without putting a gift tag on it. So I'm going to put to Newbury. Well, I know it says that. You won't be able to read my writing. And I'm going to put on the back, love from Richard. And I'll put a smiley face because no one can read my writing anyway. And then later on, I'm going to fix that on there. Now, could I get some people to help me, please? Can I have a selection of cuts to come and get these? There's some gift tags there and there's some crayons there. Let's get those out to as many people as we can, because during the next few moments of the service, I'd love you to start doing those. Don't bring them up yet. What do you want to put on your gift tag? Do you want to put thank you God? Do you just want to put with love? Do you want to put to Newbury with love? What do you want to put on there? Have a think about that, and in the next little bit of the service, do some work on that. So let's get those out to anyone who'd like them. Doesn't have to be little people, can be big ones as well. Just going to give a minute or two for those to go out. So hopefully we'll have this looking rather different when the pledges come in a bit later on, with all your little gift tags on them. No arguing if you've got the wrong colour pen, all right? So when the time comes a bit later on to bring up the pledges, we'll bring the gift tags first, and we'll fix them on here, and then we'll put what needs to go inside, inside. Okay, just about there, I think. Thank you very much. Any spare ones, you can just bring them back down to the table. That's great. Lovely. Okay, let's hear a little bit from Jeremiah, shall we? We're going to be hearing a lot from him over the next few weeks, but let's hear a little bit just now from Jeremiah chapter 1. Barbara's going to read that to us. Where's Barbara? Do you know what? I'm figuring she's probably not if she's not here. Shall I read it to you? Let's do that. Let's have a little bit of Jeremiah. Here we go. Here we go. This is just a little bit from Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, "Don't say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said, "I've put my words in your mouth." I was having a little look, and the last time I preached on this passage was on the 26th of June 2016. If you can't remember what's significant about that date, 3 days before, we'd had a thing called a referendum in this country. And everything was in uproar, and people feared that there might be chaos and confusion, and they might well be right about that. Jeremiah's prophecy was given a really precise date stamp. If you look at the beginning of the chapter, we can pin down exactly when it happened. So we know that these words happened in a state of uproar and confusion. Confidence in God was at rock bottom. People were abandoning their faith in him. They were turning away to idols. Everything they stood for was under threat. Everything was going wrong. It was going down a plug hole. It was all going to pot. Now, when that happens, we tend to do one of two things with God. When life's going in a mess, either we blame him for acting the wrong way, and we say, "Well, if I was God, I'd do it much better. And the weather would always be sunny, and my bank balance would always be full, and everything would be fine." So we either do that and say, "We could do it better than him," or we fold our arms and do absolutely nothing and say, "I want God to sort it out for me." Well, I don't know which of those Jeremiah was doing just before that passage. But I tell you what, I do know what he was thinking just afterwards. I do know just what he was thinking the minute that God shows up at the start of the reading. Over the weeks that come, we'll get to know Jeremiah. We'll get to know all about his ups and downs and his brave minutes and his fearful minutes. We'll get to know about his victories and his defeats. But it all starts here. And when God comes to him out of a clear blue sky and says, "Oi, you, I've got a job for you," there is just one thing that is on Jeremiah's mind. And it goes a little bit like this. Earplugs would be advisable. When God comes out of a clear blue sky and says, "Jeremiah, I've got a really big job for you to do," there is just one thing that Jeremiah feels. And it goes like this. "Help! Oh, no, not me." But God says, "Yeah, it is you. And he brings out the first excuse that comes to mind. He said, "Oh, I'm too young." And God soon knocks that one on the head. The message to Jeremiah is the same message that comes to us today, especially today when we embark on something which is scarily big and will affect this generation and the next. And here's the two things that God wants to say to us this morning. He says, "I know your fears, and you know me." I know your fears. You know, Jeremiah's not on his own. Lots of people, when God comes to them and says, "I've got a job for you," they end up trying to find an excuse. He comes to Moses, and Moses says, "Oh, I'm no good at speaking." He comes to Solomon, and he says, "Oh, I'm too young to be a king." He comes to Gideon, and he says, "Oh, I'm just the family weakling. I'm a joke." He comes to Mary, and she says, "Oh, I'm not even married yet." God's heard all the excuses before. And before Jeremiah even voices the thing he's frightened of, which is that people won't listen to him, God says, "I've got that one covered." Verse 8, he says, "Don't be afraid of them. Don't you worry about them," knowing full well that Jeremiah was worrying about them. Expands on it a bit later on in the passage. You've got to open on your knee. You'll see, he says later on, "I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall." He says, "Look, no one's going to knock you over. No one's going to push you around. I have set you aside for this task." God says, "I know your fears." Listen, this church of ours, I don't mean just the building, I mean this church, Newbury Baptist Church, has had a really colourful history. It started off with a bunch of people meeting in a little house and no one knows where it was. And then they gathered in a little tiny room above Camp Hobson. I'll show you a picture of that later on. And then they went to a little tiny chapel down Northcroft Lane. If you were to walk down towards the leisure centre, you would pass the site where it used to be. And then they went to a rather grand building, which is where the Edinburgh Woolen Mill now is. And then they came up here to St Mary's Hill. Did you know this was called St Mary's Hill? It is. And now we're going to be shoved off site again when everything changes. And it all starts with what goes in here in a few minutes' time. And it's all a bit scary. And it's all a bit worrying. But you know, to step out in faith is to step out with Joshua, where there's the waters of the Jordan River roaring by, and God says, "You step out and they'll stop." "You what?" "Yeah, seriously," says God, "you step out and I'll stop them. I won't stop them beforehand. I won't stop them when you wait for someone else to step out." He says, "You step out and I'll see you right." Or it's to step out with Moses when everyone's watching him and they're all dying of thirst. And Moses takes his stick and he bangs a rock, and sure enough water comes gushing out for everyone. But would you have wanted to be Moses? Saying to everyone, "Hey, you'll be fine, you'll get a drink in a minute." To step out in faith is to step out with Peter off the side of the boat onto stormy waters, believing that he might be the first man ever to walk on water. To step out in faith is to step out with the disciples who heave the empty nets in from the boat, and then someone on the shore says, "Try the other side." And just because it might possibly maybe be Jesus, they think, "Oh, okay, we'll try it then." Listen, God says, "I know your fears." And there's going to be a lot of times between now and when the product of what goes in here actually results in a new building. There's going to be a lot of times between this morning and the day when the ribbon is cut, when we'll have to tell God and each other about what we're frightened of. And we'll have to fess up like Jeremiah does here and say, "I'm scared about this, and I'm scared about that, and I'm scared about the other." Jeremiah starts doing it here and he carries on all the way through the book. He never stops. He does a lot of whinging, does Jeremiah. One of my favourite commentaries, I'll probably refer to it in the weeks to come, is called "I'm Jeremiah, Don't Laugh." That's the title of the book, "I'm Jeremiah, Don't Laugh." Wasn't it Frank Sinatra called him a pessimistic character with a crabapple face? Yay, he really gives vent to his fears, does Jeremiah. But do you know what? In the end, he overcomes them. Doubt should always be allowed to accompany faith, but it should never be allowed to dominate it. God says, "I know you. I know the things you're worried about." But then he also says, "You know me." It's interesting, you know, he never answers Jeremiah's excuse. But Jeremiah says, oh, I'm too young. God never actually answers that particular query. He just gives him his marching orders. If you look at the passage, you'll see it. Verse 7, do not be frightened. Verse 7, you must do this thing. Verse 8, do not be frightened. Verse 17, get ready, stand up, speak up, go. It really worries me when people at the front of churches talk about God being a perfect gentleman and saying, oh, well, he always asks our permission. No, he doesn't. That's nonsense. God is God. God is sovereign. And sometimes God comes and says, you've got to do this thing. And it's hard. But he says, you know me, and you know you can trust me. Sometimes when God comes and asks us to do something, no haggling or negotiation is possible or advisable. Remember John the Baptist's dad trying to haggle with the angel? Oh, are you really the angel? Is this really true? That didn't go so well, did it? I ended up struck dumb for 9 months. Remember Thomas trying to haggle. Remember the Israelites trying to haggle with Moses, and they ended up going round and round and round the mulberry bush, and it took them lots and lots more years than it should have done. Sometimes we have to say, look, yes, God does know our fears, but we know what God is like. Facing the unknown together right now, we have some serious questions to ask ourselves. You're welcome to answer these out loud if you like. I know you won't, we're all too polite, but serious questions. Do we believe that God is great?
Yes.
Well, I was just making it up for you. Do we believe the kingdom should grow? Do we believe he can provide more than the collective sum of what we can give? Do we believe that he can provide a miracle or 10 or 20 or 40? Well, if so, we've got to get on and do it. We've got to get on and trust him. God says, well, when Jeremiah is having his little wobble here, God says, verse 8, don't be afraid, I will rescue you. And we'll find out in the weeks to come that he does that again and again. And he rescues Jeremiah when he's in the stocks all night long. He rescues Jeremiah in chapter 26, where he's hauled up in front of a kangaroo court and jumped up charges are thrust upon him. He'll rescue him in chapter 38, where he's thrown into a dungeon and thinks that everyone has forgotten about him. He'll preserve his life when he and everybody else is carted off into exile, an exile, incidentally, that he'd been predicting all along at the end of the story. Does anybody here know any of Lamentations by heart? Yeah, I thought that would probably be the answer. Actually, you do. There's a little bit of Lamentations that I'm almost certain you do know off by heart. This is what it sounds like. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. Here's the bit you know. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, Jeremiah could not have told you that in the little bit that was read to us just now. But he really could by the end of it. By the end of it, by the end of 52 chapters and all the ups and downs and in-betweens, then Jeremiah could write those verses in Lamentations saying that God provides and his goodness is there and his compassions are new every morning. God says, look, I know you. And I know the things you're frightened about. But God also says, you know me. And you know that you can trust me. You know, sometime in the 1640s, it's not entirely clear exactly when, a group of people, some of them injured in the Battle of Newbury, see a picture of it outside the library in the mosaic on the floor. A bunch of people got together to start what would be called Newbury Baptist Church. And it started off, as I said, in somebody's house, and then they went to a little room. I went to visit it. It's right in the very, very, very top of Camp Hobson. They call it the ghost room because you can see it from the outside, but not from the inside. And there were just 12 of them. Hang on, let me just see. If I counted off 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Actually, so if I started here and went down to Judy, that'd be it. That would be it for Newbury Baptist Church. That's how it started. 12 people. And they wrote a little letter. It's kept in now in Bristol Baptist College. And in it, it said, they wrote to some Christians in London, asking them to help them. They said, "We are here, but very few, and for the most part, mean and low in the world." Let me read that again. "We are here, but very few," just 12 of them, "and for the most part, mean and low in the world." It's 400 years later now, almost. And we're still here. And we're still making an impact. And God is still doing things. And God still has plans. And over the whole of that story stretches a banner that says, "I know you. I know what you're frightened about. And you know me. And you know that you can trust me." Thank goodness it does, because I think we're going to need that a lot in the months and years to come. We're going to sing again together now, and then we're going to start making this look a little bit different. "Lord, I come before your throne of grace." Possiblys and maybes start to turn into action. And that's why we're all here together, so that it's a moment that we share together, young and old. And in a minute, too, I'm going to ask you to bring, if you've got the tags, bring them up and tie them on somewhere. Might need a grown-up to come and help, please, because I'm not very grown-up, so get another one up here. I'm going to come and ask you to add your tags to the outside and your pledge forms to the inside, as we give both to God this morning. I wonder, could we maybe play What Faithful One again? Would that be all right? Just the music would be great. So if you've got those, either of them, the tanks or the pledges, please bring them up now. I'm going to move this out of your way so you can get to it easily. Sorry, Kelvin, it'll never look the same again. And I couldn't be happier. If you felt you got kind of caught out and you'd forgotten this was happening today, we'd also have an opportunity to bring the pledges in next week. So if you want to take that form home and bring it back, that's absolutely fine. This will be here again during next week's service.
There's forms out the back if people haven't got forms.
Forms are out the back, thank you very much. We're going to sing together, and then after that, Nick's going to come and lead us in prayer. Let's stand and sing Faithful One.
So let's come before God in prayer. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints." And so, Lord, we do pray. Father God, we pray for our world. We thank you for the vast beauty and diversity of our created world, for the mountains, for the oceans, for the deserts, for the forests, for the rivers and plains. Praying, Lord, that we will act wisely in our care for our world. Lord, recognizing our responsibility as individuals and as nations to reduce pollution and destructive practices which damage irrevocably what God has provided. And Father God, we pray for countries and nations still at war or where terrorism is rife. Lord, we lift to you the countries of Syria and Iraq, of Yemen and Sudan, and other countries in our world where there is trouble. And we pray especially this morning for Christians in Sri Lanka this day, remembering with sadness the atrocities of Easter Sunday, but praying and believing that you, Lord, will support and strengthen the church communities that are suffering and grieving at this time. Lord, give wisdom to the government of that country and to their ministers, that they will act wisely and fairly and seek to bring the communities of four world religions together to work for peace and tolerance. Father, we pray for our country, which is much divided in communities and families over the whole Brexit issue. We pray, Lord, for a solution which will allow us to move on and focus on pressing issues of the day, such as poverty, homelessness, unemployment, social injustice, self-harm and depression. We pray, Lord, for the councillors who were elected on Thursday. We pray especially for Joe Day, our deacon in this church. Lord, may they all be inspired to serve you faithfully and diligently for the good of the people they represent. Lord, keep them from being corrupted by self-interest or manipulation by those with ulterior motives. And Father, on this particular day of pledges, we pray for our church here. We pray for our plans for redevelopment. Lord, guide us in our decision-making today as we seek to move forward, discerning your will. Inspire us, Lord, to consider what we can give, maybe we've already given, or what we can give to support this scheme, and help us to encourage others as to how they may contribute. Lord, we remember the story of the widow's mite. Lord, she gave what she could. Lord, it was a tiny amount in the world's eyes, but it was everything to her. Lord, give wisdom to the property development team, premises development team, and also to the deacons in their responsibilities for guiding the church forward at this time, and for Richard as well as minister. Help them to be inspired and to capture your vision for the future of Newbury Baptist Church. And Lord, we also lift to you all those who are sick and suffering in body, mind and spirit in our fellowship. And in a moment of quietness, you may have particular people on your hearts. I ask you to lift them before God now. Father God, I thank you that we can bring our prayers to you. You do hear our prayers, and I believe you will answer them in your time. Lord, hear these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, Nick. Now, before we close with the last song, there's one more thing we're going to do together. Can I get a couple of people to help me lift this down off the platform, please? I'd lift it up on my own, which is very silly, but I'd rather not lift it down on my own. Let's get it down onto the floor, please. It's not too bad, actually. It's bulky more than heavy. Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's brilliant. Now, many moons ago, before selfies were invented, there used to be things called an auto timer on a camera where, you know, you set it off and you run around the front. We're going to try and get a congregational selfie this morning. Oh, look at it, it's died. Oh, yeah. This is a moment we're going to want to remember. So, if you're happy to, can you come and bunch up down here, all of you? Come on, down you come. It's a long time since we've had a photo of the whole church together. So let's squeeze as many of you up as we can. And let's put that in front. Can you kind of hold on to that for me so we can see it? And then I'll see if I can actually see you all. Okay, how are we doing? We've got as many in it as want to be. Any more I want to squeeze down the front here? Now, basically what happens, if this works as it did when I tested it earlier, this I shall press it and the little light will start flashing. When it goes solid flash, that's when it's about to go. So you can have your best faces on at that moment. But we'll try a couple of times because it probably won't work. Yay! Have you noticed, by the way, they're all in coordinating colours this morning? How impressive is that? Yeah, go on, come down and join us. There's a face that says, I love to be in a photograph. It doesn't matter where I sit, I'll just sit on the floor, right? Well, I draw the line at sitting in the cement mixer, but... Right, are we ready? Shall we try this? So, like I say, hopefully... The little light should start flashing. Is the light flashing? No, let's try again. Oh, I'll have to sit here. It's the only space left. Oh, hours. It is going to stop in a minute, I promise. There we are. Yay! But we'll do one more just in case, shall we? Okay, yeah, that's fine. Now you've kind of got the hang of it, you see. Oh, no, that's not. Hey, there we are. This is all going so well. There we are. Is it flashing now? Are you sure? Should I come now? Okay, I'll come now. Worn out. Are you ready? It's going to stop any minute. On and on and on. Yay, brilliant stuff. Right, let's get back and we're going to sing. And if you want to take the instruments, this is definitely a song that needs them. We are marching in the light of God. Upon us as we march in the light of God. Keep us close to him and keep us in step with him, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.